I've started up a little bit of a series talking about the evidence for the Bible, for God, and I've been kind of struggling a little bit to find out where to go to next. I talked a little bit about the Big Bang in my first episode that I did in the first part of this series, I guess I'll call it. And it's been kind of hard to figure out exactly where to go from there. So many different routes I could go, but then it dawned on me that Easter is coming up. And so the most logical place to go right now would be the supreme evidence, the ultimate evidence for the existence of God, and that being Jesus Christ himself and the resurrection from the dead. The reason why I say this is evidence for the existence of God is because there is such truth of the existence of God inside the resurrection story. Because when you think about it, okay, first of all, to verify the resurrection story, we'd have to start off by saying first, okay, Jesus would have to be real, right? And there's so many religions out there that can't confirm either the existence of their deities or founders or whatever you might have. And yet Christianity in historic terms is rooted in the reality that Jesus is a real person, that he existed in history. Whether or not you acknowledge his deity or not, whether or not you acknowledge him to be God or not, the historians, any credible historian will tell you that Jesus Christ existed. And you see people like Josephus confirming, even though Josephus was not acknowledged to be a Christian, and in fact he belonged to, he was a Jew. And therefore he would have been necessarily opposed to the idea that Jesus would have been God. And yet he was willing to affirm that Jesus existed, for one, that he was crucified, that it was under Pontius Pilate that he was crucified, and that indeed the Christians that would follow after Jesus would worship him as God after he was resurrected. Now, so we can acknowledge that Jesus was a real person. Does that mean he was God? Well, absolutely not. That doesn't mean that. But then we start looking at the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus, because if anything, it was going to validate the claim that Jesus is God, it would be the resurrection, because that is Jesus coming out of the grave after having been killed and walking around as though, almost as though nothing had happened to him. Now, of course, he acknowledged what had happened to him because it would verify that Jesus is who he claimed to be, namely that he was Jesus. And so he even bore the wounds in his hands and his feet and in his side to prove that he was crucified, but that would just be conjecture. That would just be stories if it wasn't for some sort of tangible evidence that Jesus did indeed raise from the dead. Namely, the evidence that I'm talking about is the empty tomb. The easiest way to disprove Jesus as having been resurrected, or Jesus as having been God, Jesus having been the Messiah, is to show that the tomb after Jesus had been killed was not empty, but that his dead body was in there. Now, when we observe what the Bible has to say, it says that there are guards placed in front of the tomb to keep Jesus' disciples from pulling his body out of the grave. And they were given the story that the guards were placed there at the tomb. And then it appears that an angel or a person that appeared as lightning appeared to the guards, moved the stone. There was a great earthquake. The guards ran away. And then later on, when they returned, guess what? Jesus' body was gone. So they felt like they were in trouble. So they talked to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees said, don't worry, we'll pay you money to keep your mouth quiet on this. And not just to keep your mouth quiet, but we want you to say that the disciples came and they took the body. Now, they took the body despite the fact the guards were there to protect the tomb from the disciples, taking the body from the tomb. Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you put it together. You think that the guards would have fought them off. They were armed and they were powerful. They were strong. So they weren't going to, the disciples weren't going to get past the guards, move the stone out of the way, and then take the body of Jesus, at least not with anybody else knowing it. Somebody would have found this out. So we have that. And then we have this story that the Bible tells us that the Pharisees were saying that the reason why the tomb was empty was because the disciples came and took it. Okay, well, let's analyze that claim then, okay? Because had that been true, we know from the Bible and from historic sources that there were people who had come before Jesus that claimed to be the Messiah. And they came and claimed that they were the chosen one of God. Well, what happened to them? Well, what ended up happening to them is that they were killed, and then their followers stopped following. They no longer believed that the one they were following was God. They no longer believed the one they were following was Messiah. And as a result, the movement just dispersed, it fell apart, and their movements don't exist to this day. Well, what's the difference with Jesus? Well, with Jesus, his followers continued to proclaim that he rose from the dead, despite the fact they're being persecuted. They were arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin, and they are told, you are no longer allowed to preach the name of Jesus. What did they end up doing? They went right back to the streets and preached the name of Jesus once again, despite the fact that they are being flogged for it, they are being punished for it, they are being arrested for it. Eventually, they would even lose their lives for it. So, does that sound like something rational that somebody is telling a big lie about would do? They didn't make a whole lot of money off the claim that Jesus Christ had raised from the dead. In fact, they became essentially perpetual fugitives inside of the world because they were being arrested by the religious leaders. And later on, the Roman authorities would seek to take their lives as well, that they would label them as criminals following a false religion and a false God, according to the Roman authorities. So they would all lose their lives. And yet John, of course, he would survive and he would write the Revelation. So we have these testimonies that from the apostles about who Jesus is and what he taught, and that he indeed was resurrected. Furthermore, we have the apostle Paul and Jesus' brothers, James and Jude, who also testified to the reality that they saw the risen Lord. They saw Jesus resurrected from the dead later on after Jesus had been resurrected, and they were skeptics prior to that. In fact, James and Jude at one point tried to trick Jesus into going to Jerusalem when tensions were high, and they knew that by telling him, yeah, you should go up to Jerusalem, that the religious leaders would try to arrest him and would try to kill him if he were to go in the open. And the Apostle Paul, if you're familiar with him, I'm sure you've all heard of, well, I don't know, maybe you haven't heard of Paul. Regardless, the Apostle Paul, what he had done is that when this movement of Christians had started to become popular, and people thought that it was just a branch of Judaism. In fact, that actually, in many respects, is what it is, that it is a continuation of Judaism. But he didn't want to be affiliated with that, and he didn't want anybody to think that what he was following was affiliated with that. And so what they did is they would arrest Christians, and they would have them executed. So Paul was executing Christians, but then one day he had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus, and Jesus made it known that it wasn't just his followers that he was persecuting, but it was he himself that Paul was persecuting. And then Paul, of course, repented of that and became a follower of Jesus Christ. Not the least of which of the evidences that we need to acknowledge about the reality of God and Jesus Christ as the Son of God is the reality that the Christian movement exists to this very day. Despite the persecution, despite the odds, despite being born inside of a culture where if you claim to be God, Jesus claimed to be God, and claiming to be God, if you weren't God, was punishable by death, and they even tried on multiple occasions to stone Jesus, and yet his movement didn't just make it out of those moments. He didn't just survive those moments, but rather the Christians survived the entire persecution. Of course, you know, they were martyred. Yet the apostles, they indeed were martyred, but the movement itself continued to grow, continued to swell, continued to gain credibility until one day, not long after the founding of Christianity through Jesus Christ, it eventually became the world's dominant religion. Now, again, we can get into history and about how the church hasn't been perfect and everything, but at least acknowledge that our entire calendar switched because of the birth of Jesus Christ. That we call it AD because it's Anno Domini. Anno Domini, that means the year of our Lord is what that means. So our entire calendar flipped from being some other system to Anno Domini because of Jesus Christ himself. So time itself is contingent on Jesus Christ. And what's remarkable is just the thought to know that Jesus Christ will be returning one day. Now, as far as the reality that that speaks to the truth of God, well, we're going to be able to see him face to face here one day, and that'll be proof enough for us. But until then, we do need evidences like this. We do need to know history. We do need to know how the church came to be to understand that God is real and that through his son, Jesus Christ, he wants to have a relationship with you. So if you want to have a relationship with God and truly know that God is real, you must simply give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.